If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you are in a race. You know, the Apostle Paul mentions that fact several times in his writings, that we are in a race. In fact, the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 is all about a race. Now, the Greek word for race is agon, from which we get our English word agony. And the lesson today is about an agonizing race that you and I find ourselves in as Christians. It is it's not a sprint. It is a marathon, and it is yours and mine. There are several things that we need to understand about this Christian race that we are a part of in our lives. So this morning, I would like for us to talk about the Christian race which all of us are in. First of all, I want to suggest to you that our Christian race is a personal race. You know, the Hebrew writer says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, God has given each of us a race to run in our lives. And we see this a lot today, members of the church trying to run someone else's race when our race is a personal race. We are in the race ourselves. And let me tell you something. It is all that I can do to run this race for myself. I neither have the time, nor the energy, nor the knowledge, or the desire to run anyone else's race. Unfortunately, this is not always true. As we look at the race that we run as Christians, many times we find ourselves wanting to look at our neighbor or look at our friend who are Christians and try to help them run their race. And we watch how they live their lives from day to day, and we think that we can tell them a better way for them to run their race. And sometimes we get frustrated about that because it's not our business to run other people's spiritual race. But yet we make it our business, and as a result of that, we run out of control trying to run our own race. You see, when we start minding other people's races, someone's going to get hurt. It very well could be us. It very well could be the people who we're trying to help run their race. Which is why Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And in telling us to work out our own salvation, Paul is also telling us, don't try to work out your neighbor's salvation. Don't try to work out your friend's salvation. Don't try to work out someone else's salvation if he may be going a little different way than you are. It is a personal race that you and I are running. Second of all, I want to suggest to you that the race that we run, it's a permanent race. We talked about in class that many people look at Christianity that at the point of baptism, they're through. They have completed all of the commandments to become a Christian, and now they think, well, I'm a Christian now. It doesn't matter what I do, what I say, how I live. I'm a Christian. That's it, period. Life doesn't work that way. Christianity doesn't work that way. You see, the Christian life is not a sprint. Now, I remember very well in high school and P.E. having to run sprints, and they were always the length of the football field. And that was a hard enough thing to do. But then they said, okay, I want you to run around that football field five times. That was a little different. It took a lot longer. It took a lot more dedication, a lot more energy. We're in a marathon. We're not in a 100-yard dash. In our Christian race, we need to know this morning that in the Christian race, once we get on the track, once we become born again, once we become children of God, we're in a race for our life. And we're going to have to race all of our lives. because just a little while is not going to get us to the finish line, which is why in Revelation 2 and verse 10, we find Jesus telling us, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. In other words, don't give up on your race. You start that race when you become a child of God, and you run that race until you take your last step in life. Because that is the time that your Christianity is involved. Don't let Satan keep you from running the race that is set before you. He will use things such as disappointment, frustration. He will use sin to get you to stop your race or at least slow down to your own comfort level. We need to learn that we start our race with step one out of baptism until we take our last step into death. Now the question is, how do you do that? How can we run a race from beginning to end and not give up in the middle? There are some things that we can do. First of all, let's let other people cheer us on. You know, we need to learn to look to other people for faithfulness. I have to tell you, I know that for a fact, if it was left up to me alone and my faithfulness, not sure I would be where I am today. I have to depend on other people to encourage me, to push me forward, to keep me moving in the right direction. And I don't mind telling you, the greatest person that does that today in my life is this little old lady that's sitting over here, my wife. She is my greatest encouragement to be a Christian. I was a far better Christian after I married her than I was before. And we can depend on other people to help us in our Christian race. We need to help get other people to help us. I want you to imagine for just a moment that you're sitting in the Roman Colosseum. And there, in this place, many great races have been run throughout the New Testament times. There's a crowd in the stands, and there, which every one of them are witnesses as to what is taking place on the field. Now, if you go to the Greek word and you look up this word witness that is, as it is used here, it doesn't mean spectators. Now, usually when we go to an event like a race or to a ball game, we are spectators, right? Most of us are just spectators. But that's not what this Greek word is talking about. This word simply means runners who have already run. People who have already experienced what these folks on the field are going through. They're witnessing this. They're witnessing again something that they have already gone through. And I think here in a spiritual sense, he is talking about runners who have already crossed the finish line. Runners who are now in heaven waiting on us because they have finished their race. They have done the right thing. They are heroes of faith, in other words. Our forefathers who have run the race. And they are witnesses that can encourage us to run the race and complete the race. Church, we need to understand that as we look back over the scriptures and we find people who have been in spiritual races, that we can go to them for encouragement and understanding when things go wrong. For example, there may be some here today who are thinking about dropping out of the race. And the reason you're thinking about dropping out of the race is maybe you have lost someone special in your life. It may be that your health is failing to a certain extent. Maybe you've lost friends. Maybe your finances are in shambles. Maybe your future is uncertain because you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow because of all the bad things that have happened yesterday. And I want to suggest to you that if you're thinking these things, you can go to Job. And Job will tell you, look, I've been there. Job will tell you, I know what it's like to lose everything. I know how you feel. But I also know that God is faithful. And I also know that God will work everything out for your benefit, because He's already made that promise to you as a child of God, that all things will work out together for your good if you love Him and are called according to His purpose. And then Job will say, He did it for me, and He can do it for you. Perhaps you're thinking about quitting because life hasn't been fair to you. You know, I get this from a lot of people. God must not like me because things that happen to me aren't fair in life. I just don't get things to go my way. Life has been too tough. Maybe you think that you've been treated unjustly. Maybe you think that you've been abandoned by a friend or by a spouse or by a brother or a sister. And if these things have happened to you, I want to tell you that, my friend, you can go to Joseph. And Joseph can stand up and tell you, I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what it's like to be treated unfairly. I know what it's like when life hands you a raw deal. I was abandoned by my brothers. I was thrown into prison for something that I did not do. I was forgotten by my friends. But I learned that God was good to me even when life was not. And we need to understand that. So don't give up. Joseph didn't give up. And as a result, he became the number two hierarchy power in Egypt. Maybe you're thinking that I am facing my biggest problem in life, and I don't know how to face it. I don't have an answer for it. You may be thinking, I'm so discouraged. I can't overpower this, so I'm just going to quit. And when you get that thinking, you may need to think about David. And look at David. David can tell you, hey, I've been there. I faced the biggest giant ever. And by the power of God, I conquered that giant. So keep on trying. Keep on keeping on. Because I conquered. With the help of God, I conquered. And so can you. My friends, in the lives of the saints who have gone before us, we have example after example after example as to how we can conquer our fears, our disappointments, and our problems in life. In fact, it's the very reason that Paul wrote to us in the Old Testament, or about the Old Testament, in Romans 15 and verse 4. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So yeah, let others help you. Let others cheer you on. Another thing that we need to do, we need to put aside whatever hinders us or whatever enslaves us. The Scripture says, let us lay aside every weight. Now you know, a weight can literally be anything. A weight could be harmless. A weight could be good. But it could become a bad thing if we let it, and if we could let it keep us from being our very best. You know, it may be that as we go through life, we find out that we have too many irons in the fire. It could be a hobby that we have. It could be a sport, fishing, hunting, golf, something, anything along those lines. It could be TV, internet, or some other form of entertainment that we have allowed to come into our lives and take away the importance of God. Could be our job. Could be a career. Could be a business venture that we're looking at getting into. The Hebrew writer says we need to lay these things aside. If we allow them to get in our way of our Christianity, We need to put these things away. They are not that important. Jesus said, your place is in the kingdom. Your priority is the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Friends, this is a commandment and a promise. The commandment is that we put God first in our lives. And if we are willing to do that, the promise is there that everything else is going to be taken care of. And you know, we don't really believe that, do we? If you really believed this passage of Scripture was true, you would put it into your lives and you would live it every day, and then you would find out this passage is true. If we put God first, He is going to take care of everything else. He always has. He is not going to fail you if you don't fail Him. You see, our problem, it's not always one of choosing between right and wrong. Sometimes our problem is choosing between what is good and what is best. And sometimes we will let that which is only good ensnare us. Now, I want for just a minute to talk about this word, ensnare. The word ensnare comes from the Greek word delao. And this word refers basically to a vine that wraps itself around a tree and ultimately chokes the life out of the tree. You know, one of the things that I really appreciated that we don't have in North Alabama is the moss on the trees. I love to see moss on the trees. And before the tornadoes came through, you could go down 3rd Avenue toward the hospital, and I called that the moss tunnel because it was gorgeous. Those big oaks would cover the whole street and beautiful moss hanging from it. And we love the look of that, don't we? Have you ever stopped to think that that moss is choking those trees from its life? Moss is beautiful, but it's not a good thing for the trees. You know, that's exactly what sin does to us. It wraps itself around us, and it chokes the very life out of us. Satan does everything that he possibly can to choke us, to get us tired, to get us weary, so that we will slow down, and so we will quit the race. And of course, this is such a fatal mistake. And we've seen it happen. We may have had it to happen to us. We all know people who have been alive for God. They've been on fire for God. They've been hot. They've had zeal. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And they choose to quit. This is Satan at work, folks. He's wrapped himself around you. And he is choking the life out of you. Let me ask you this morning, my friends, what sin is it in your life that can easily tempt you? What sin is it in your life that can entangle you and ensnare you and just little by little choke you? We've all got one. Most of us know what it is. I know what mine is. Now let me ask you this. Are you willing to name it? Are you willing to recognize this weakness that you have? Are you willing to go to the Lord and take responsibility for this weakness that you have and ask God to forgive you because you've given in to it? You can. You can repent. And you can turn from it. And you can remove that vine from around you and stop it from choking you. We need to remember that Paul and Peter both remind us that God commends everywhere all to repent. It is something we must do. And Peter reminds us that God is wanting you to do that. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every one of us need to recognize that weakness, that sin, that temptation that so easily ensnares us, and try to put it away. Friends, he's talking about not winning a race because of just thinking about it. He's talking about behavior here. He's talking about put the thoughts, the attitudes, the behavior, put all of that behind you. You know, repenting of sin is an uncomfortable process. When someone responds to the gospel here to repent of sins, there's usually tears in their eyes because it's a hard thing to do. It's not a happy thing, but it is a necessary thing. The fact is, we will never lay our sins aside until we are ready to acknowledge them and know that they are real. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do, is to recognize them. And then finally this morning, as we run our race, we must look to Jesus. Winners of this race will be found looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Greek word here literally means to look away from everything else. That is what we are expected to do. Take our eyes off of everything else and put our eyes on God. You know, the story is told. In 1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. The problem was that there was another man, an Australian by the name of John Landy, who also claimed the same feat. So they decided that they was going to have a challenge meet. They was going to run a race, just the two of them, to see who could actually break this 4-minute mile. During the race, the Australian was leading the entire way. When he got down to the last 100 yards, the crowd was on their feet, and Roger Bannister made his move to go around the Australian. He moved to the left of the Australian and began his run, and the Australian, he looked around his shoulder to the right to see where Bannister was. He did not see Bannister coming around on the other side. So Bannister passed him on the other side and won the race and gained complete victory over winning that 4-minute mile. Here's the answer to that story. Never give up on the race. Never turn around and look backward to see where you've been. Take your eyes off of the world. Take your eyes off of other people. Take your eyes even off of yourself. And keep your eyes on Jesus. The text this morning, which is the one that Billy was supposed to have read, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. My question to you this morning is this. First of all, are you in the race? My friends, if you are not in the race, you can't make it to the finish line. You have to accept the challenge to run the race. God has placed it before you if you will accept the challenge. Today, through faith, you can come to the Lord. You can change your life through repentance of sin. You can confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You can walk down into that watery grave of baptism, and you can walk out of that watery grave of baptism a brand new born again Christian. And that, my friends, will be step one of your race. And you can run that race today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life. And then you can cross that finish line and receive the blessings of God. Perhaps, my friends, as a Christian, you have allowed something to entangle you. You have allowed something to weigh you down. You have taken your eyes off of Jesus. Perhaps you have given up already. Perhaps you have said, I will just simply quit the race. This morning you have an opportunity to get up, to get back into that race. Confess your faults. We will pray with you and for you. God has promised He will forgive you. And He will put you back in the race. And you will see the finish line, and you can run toward it every day of your lives. And when you cross that finish line, you will be with God forever. Run the race that God has set before you. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing the song.